Let's jam, outliers. Hello there, Niyama Shang here, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. Today, I am joined with Anthony Raymond, and we're going to spend time exploring how he shows up as an outlier, the world of difference that he's created, and the ways that he continues to add value and be of service in the world. I actually want to start there here. In a bit, I'm going to give Anthony an opportunity to speak himself into the room and let us know who he is from his side. But Anthony, we had a chance to connect before this, and I just want to share with you like how you've shown up for me, like the impact you've had on me here. Are you good with that?
I'm perfect with that. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, like, we're just getting to know each other. We're still getting to know each other. But what I get about you is a few different things. One, the word service comes up in all of our interactions before we even met. Like, you showed up as someone with high levels of integrity and, like, honestly leaning into how you can be of service, you know? And even when I added too many steps into the process, you were like, I got it. Like, I'm still on it. And that speaks to me. That speaks more than any words that we can say. Like, your actions really do come out and say, like, you're willing to go that extra step and be there all the way. So, like, I get that about you already as we get started. Do you mind if I share one more thing?
You may
Okay,
share
cool.
whatever you like.
Yeah, the other thing that gets me is like it's like fun and playful. So right now I'm seeing you. You're like you have like the suit, you have the tie. But what I think about you is like it's fun spending time with you. Like you're and I think it's fun,
Oh,
not
thank
ha
you.
ha fun. It's playful. You're like you're expansive. Like you, yes, you're about the business. You know what you're doing. You're highly skilled in it. But you're not. It's not stodgy, you know, at
Oh, that's
all.
good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's like it's not that I imagine it to be stodgy, but like I do think that one of the things that you bring to our conversations has just been this slight bit of playfulness that matches with like the mastery of what you have, given your experience and everything, that makes it super like the word is both enjoyable and also like I feel comfortable through this. And I think that I want to say that we're still getting to know each other, but that really shines through and it's what's carried from one conversation to today. So just thank you for being you. And I'm excited to let have all the other outliers get to know you as I'm getting to know you.
Fantastic. Thank you. And much the same. I'm gonna flip that back to you because you have this great personality and I noticed that about you. So I think we're gonna have an interesting chat today.
Oh
And
yes, I
I just got it. I like men's clothing. So I it's one of the those things. Maybe it's a throwback kind of thing. But I like a shirt and a tie. And even those days when I'm working alone and yeah, I'll put one on.
yeah, I
Yeah,
like I
spending days around the house. Yeah, it's okay. I'll maybe not a tie all the time, but it's definitely have a it's a little bit of fun with the wardrobe at times.
Yeah.
Mentioning that fun, which a funny thing, years ago I used to sign off on my emails with "Have fun." I looked at it as just one of those phrases that I just hopefully encourage people just approach life with a little more of a whimsical nature. What's that quote? It's better to think of life as a scavenger hunt rather than a surprise party. And when you look at it that way, you're just looking around trying to make those connections. And if you approach it like I think Steve Jobs mentioned where he said, you could reach out into the world and touch it and influence it and put yourself out there and get people to work with you and work for other people. Yeah. And to me, that's having fun because it's all about doing those human being things. And really, sometimes people forget about that.
Well, I love this, and I like let's make sure that in this conversation we're having fun
Yeah, without
throughout it, right?
a
Yeah,
doubt.
I'm like it can't not happen, but and we'll see what that is. And it's interesting to me. I want to give people a chance to get to know you, but what I've noticed as time has gone on for me is that like fun looks different for me. I thought fun was like balloons and all this other stuff, but like really like fun for me is like getting to know what makes someone like amazing in the world, having a conversation that most people wouldn't have and being able to like peel back the layers of like just what we see on the outside with like who someone is on the inside and then tie that back to like why what we see on the outside is so awesome
Yeah.
because of it, right? That connection is huge for me. So why don't we do this? Let's get a sense of you kind of like from the outside, right? Like, so what I would love to like, well, I'll give you a chance to speak to both. But if you can help us see for you, like, I'm trying to find a way that I want to frame this here. The question I have for you, we'll do this. Let us know about you personally and professionally, and I'll say, tell us what you want us to know. And if there's anything in there that you don't want us to know that you think would still also be helpful, say that too.
Let's start with my name's Anthony Raymond. I publish books. I'm a publisher. And maybe later on we'll get into how I got into this whole endeavor. But my company is called Callisti Publishing, and you could look for it at callistipublishing.com, although it might be easier to remember readkp.com. And you can find some great books, and it'll leapfrog into all my other sites. And I've been doing this for a couple of decades now. And it's, again, been fun for the most part. It's like anything else. You know, sometimes you have to pay the dues to play the blues, as they say. You know, everything about life isn't fun. I mean, we all have to do taxes, we all have to attend those stodgy meetings. But overall, as long as the good outweighs the bad on a daily basis, you're doing okay. And I hope that people find those things that I think people always talk about, you know, do those things that bring you joy or give you joy. You know, that's a pretty tall order. And God, I hope that. But most days, and particularly if you're doing something that will give you joy, you're going to have those days when, man, they're not very joyful. They're rather actually rather frustrating, if not downright infuriating, because, you know, dealing with people sometimes is like herding cats, or else you're trying to bring something into the world and, you know, you're developing those skills, so it's not quite there, and so it doesn't feel good. Then, if you stick to it, and I've found if you know you persist through it with determination, sometimes just sheer willpower, at the end, yeah, it does bring joy. So it's, you know, maybe not joy on a daily basis. That might be too much to hand to ask for, but definitely in the long term. So I publish books, and I've published primarily business books, personal development books, and along the way, you know, consulted with people and mentored people, and I still do that to this day. I'm trying to think of something. You know, over the years, I don't read as many books as I mean, I used to be a voracious reader. Easily a book a day at times, but now that's slowed a little bit. I don't read as much as I used to, and at times I will tell I have advised some people to not read so many books. Actually, just take those couple that you really really find impactful and influential, and study those, and really get to know those and put them into action. You know, it's like one of sometimes you find that you know you read a thousand, not thousand, you know, you read 100 books to get that one nugget of knowledge that really will account for, you know, maybe 90% of your success, whatever that may be. So sometimes it's not about the volume that one reads, it's what you're reading, and how you're taking that information and processing it and then acting on it.
Now, Anthony, that hits me pretty hard right now. There's actually a few things that you said. It's just like boom, like I'm like you just got straight to the core of some things that are going on in my mind. One element of this here is let's start with this, but you just brought up around like the like I'll put it in my context. I'm now back to podcasting. I've been on and off for a number of
I remember you
years.
saying that,
Yeah.
yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, I should go listen to more podcasts. And I also found myself at the same time, like, thinking to myself, no, actually, I'm not here to create someone else's thing. Like, I already know it. The real thing is, am I courageous enough to do what, like, to do my own?
You
Yes,
know, so what
that's
I, you know, and I also feel you with the books in particular recently, and I think this is why I decided to do the podcast this way, like be in conversation this way, because I realized like for me now there's a lot of people have a lot of information, and the information is being circulated, and a lot of it is like the same information being circulated. So then the question becomes like, who can I trust? You know, who actually can take me all the way? Who would I want to go? If everyone can do the same thing, who would I want to go down that path with? And I found myself recently doing something similar to what you're saying, where it's like I actually read, there's like one person I follow, and I read his books, and I've read his books probably, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, about 20 times. And it's just like two books over and over again. Literally in the car yesterday, I'm like, I got to read this chapter, because when I heard it the first time, I started acting on it, and it took me a while to really get to the point where I'm like, oh, they said this, and now I can listen to the same book and find a next level of, like, that Lex nugget, because I've actually implemented, I've like tried it, I did what they said, and I'm like, well, this didn't work, and I go back, I listen, I'm like, oh, they didn't say to do it the way I did it. I thought I got it, but we're not, you know. How's that been impacting you as you like, what are some of the books that maybe you keep returning to? How's that impacted you when you like, when you slow down and start implementing? There got quite a few books, but I just want to say one thing I try to parse with the books is, like you said, you're looking for those people you can trust. That's key, because you want someone who's actually going to come up and be like, hey, this is the real deal. On the other hand, there are a lot of books where they're right, but they're just kind of regurgitating, and that's a pretty strong word, but just what's the right thing to say, rather than saying the hard, sometimes maybe the truth, whatever that might be. Think positive. How'd you get so successful? I thought positive, and I worked really hard. It's like, okay, can you be a little more specific?
Yeah.
can you shine a spotlight somewhere? Because sometimes, and a lot of times, you read enough books, you just see this common thread through all of them, and they're saying the same things, though nothing is quite either specific enough or actionable enough or gosh, true enough. And it gets infuriating at times. And so I'm not going to say I'm reading really ultra books or anything, because again, every book comes in and brings something new to the table. And sometimes you just need a book that's going to be a good pep talk. Something where it can be like, you know what? If that dumbbell could do it, I could do it too. And frankly, when you look at the world, you look at the people who control the world, who control the big businesses, and you watch interviews with them, or you listen to interviews with them, or you read what they wrote. It's like they're not the smart. They're not sending their best a lot of times. A lot of people are really smart, so don't get me wrong. But some of them, you're just like, wait, that guy has a mansion and a yacht and a private plane, and he's not the
Well,
best.
that's the kind of the reason why I love spending time with outliers, because I look at this, and you know, my general thing was, I had seen, what got me started was I had seen leaders out there, the people who were getting the time, the people who were making decisions for my community and beyond. And you know, the thing that came to my mind was like, well, if I was a leader, I would be able to do, I would be doing things differently. And if the people that I was with were leaders, they would be doing things differently. And then I thought to myself, but we haven't put ourselves in those positions. For whatever it is, like, we're not, like, what is keeping us from stepping into that space, right? And so as you're saying this, it really captures me here, where it's like, yeah, like, you really could do it.
It's a that's a tough one, because I know exactly what you're talking about, because I'm telling you, like you, like me, in many ways solopreneurs, as the cool kids say, we are those outliers, just in the sense that we oftentimes have these views that aren't just different, but they're really different, and sometimes they're I'm not gonna say tough to swallow, but it's like changing the direction of a ship. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of force. you can't turn a ship on a dime like you can either, a sports car or even, a jet fighter. These are things that, they have a big arc, and there's a lot of momentum behind them. And so, when you're coming out there and you're introducing something new, a new podcast, a new book, a new way of looking at things, dovetailing to what I said earlier with, a lot of these guys, they come out and they just say the same things because it's accepted wisdom, so to speak. When you come out and say, the 90-hour work week, sure, but it might be a little overrated. Or what exactly are you doing in those 90 hours? And believe me, I've done those, and at times they have to be done, but it's one of those things where it's like, we want to be in business so we don't have to do the 90-hour work week. We want to have a nice life. And even though what we're doing is fun, and we enjoy it, and there's a passion behind it, there's just like, we don't want to have all those frustrations. But that's another topic. But what
Well,
I'm getting at.
let's stay with that. I actually want to like ask
Okay.
you in this thing, because the way that I like to unpack as it goes along here,
Yeah.
because like seriously, you're having conversations, you're saying things that I think people would think about, right? You
Sure.
talk a lot of times about like what you do as a publisher is you help people bring visions to life, and you
Yes.
talked about the frustration, you talked about when you're doing something new, like I think this is like this is what's real to it all, right? And so I want to keep playing. I want to keep pulling this a little bit. Are you good with that?
Oh,
All right.
absolutely.
So here goes a question for you. You talked about people say a lot of the same things, and like they choose. I call it like they play it safe, or they have like an initial level of the. I think I mentioned to you. I authored. We had a conversation about authoring versus being a writer.
Right. Yes.
And I authored a 200-page book, which is going to be coming out. But it was actually done a year ago from the date of this recording,
Oh, okay.
ready to
Fantastic.
go, all that. But I looked at it and I was like, I don't like it is my words. It is me. It is like I dictated the whole thing. I had someone on my team help me like bring it out to life. And shout out to that team member. But it's like I looked at it. I'm like, am I actually saying anything right now?
Yeah, that, like
and
tough questions.
You
Yes.
don't, you know what I'm saying? I like this. This is true. Is this, if someone read it, could it be that book that they can listen to over and over again and come back each time and say, I learned something different versus, oh, that's a nice thought, and then continue on, or wow, that was really inspiring, and then continue on. So with that kind of like in the background, you mentioned something about people talk about accepted wisdom. I thought that was a really, I've never heard anyone frame it that way. And I get curious for you about your unaccepted wisdom. What's something that like you believe to be true that most people wouldn't accept per se, but it is still coming from a place of like your lived experience, your lived wisdom?
Let me think on that because I want to address something that you just said with regards to your book because I understand what you're going through with that.
Yeah.
And maybe this will dove to, go in and see into this question you just posed because it's like
Yeah.
you want to go out with that book that you have now.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I've discovered is, at least with me, a lot of my time wasn't making decisions, it was not making decisions. So as soon as you just make a decision, you just run with it. It's all going to end well, or it's all going to end, or complete one way or another. And however it's going to be, it's going to be, and you'll deal with it from there. So I've come to work with myself and just make a decision, say yes, no, make it quick, and then go on to the next thing. Because most of those, I think a lot of those 90-hour work weeks, if you're not actually doing something, is worrying about a decision somewhere. Should the book cover be green or blue? No, just put the book out. You have another book. You could bring out another book. If this book doesn't do well or you don't like it, make the second book. Then you can go on to book two, and just cycle like the cool kids say, fail fast. I
You
think
find that even with like writing books, because I think about
yeah, but
like
to one It is a delicate dance.
Okay.
Again, where I'm not talking about being capricious, I'm not talking about being spurious. I'm talking about putting your best foot forward, and working at it and editing it as it may be, and getting that constructive criticism and input to make it a better book. But at some point, I think with myself, definitely, I think with a lot of people, you see that there is, and it's as you mentioned earlier, that inner dialogue where, yeah, we want to be self-critical, we want to be we want to be reflective, but man, we don't want to be disparaging, and we don't want to bring ourselves down, and that can happen very easily. It's like that, there's a, I call that delicate dance, because there's just also that fine line between, confidence and arrogance. And we want to move forward, as I say, boldly. We want to go forward confidently, and present to the world the best that we can. Though sometimes we do have to go into battle with the army that we have. And so in many ways, that's why we set those dates, and we say, okay, that we're going to release this book on this date. And sometimes if we don't have that hard date, that just opens the door for endless revisions and endless editing sessions and endless procrastinations. Like I said, it is that fear. It is that we're maybe just afraid of putting that out to the world, thinking like, hey, if we do something magical will happen if we put out. But we see every day, products being released that just don't work or just aren't very good, but they're doing really well. And then by version two or edition three, yeah, it's okay. It is something.
Do you mind if I ask a quick
Of
question
course,
on this
no,
here?
of
Because
course
this is
not.
like this is actually like it's. I know myself where I typically am a let's get it out there kind of person, and this is one of the first times where I just slowed everything down. And you just mentioned version this or addition that, and I'm like, I'm realizing as you're talking, I'm like, wait, you can do that? Like for me, a book is a thing that you work on and then you put out into the world, and it's done and it has to be complete, like making a website or changing a landing page or like, making changes of CSS, like that I can do on the fly. But when I think about a book, I'm like, oh, it has to be like this. Like, I'll be honest, if I could, and maybe I can, this is now just playing with me in this space. But I would put the book out and iterate it in real time. Just be like, this is version 1.01.33. And just like, depending on the day you come, the feedback I get, I'm like, oh, that needs to go into the book. We're updating it. Every time it comes in, it gets a little bit better. So go
You
ahead,
know
please.
that's a relatively new thing, and you see people doing that in real time. They will have say, and it happens a lot with say on blogs. People will just put their book up there, basically, chapter by chapter, blog post by blog post. People will question, people will edit, people will say, hey, I like this paragraph but not this sentence, and it happens this whole thing. It becomes an almost collaborative effort. And more than that, it is a marketing tool in many ways, because as people are being like, wow, this guy wrote this really great book, and here, go look at it, go read it. It's just his blog post. And so as it gets social, and all the things happen. So that's a great way to go about it, because, and I was just talking with someone this morning, but even in the publishing industry, there's just this whole question of what is a book. And yes, we have this long history, so it might be almost at this point ingrained. We know what a book is, but what is it really? Especially as now we have ebooks, and even at that, remember books came with, some of them came with CDs and pictures and pullouts. And but what is it now, especially as, again, like you said, collaborative efforts, and now that you can incorporate audio, video, and now that you could have lead people along various paths. So there is a small aspect of publishing where serious books are almost, remember those pick a path books, those choose your own adventure books? I don't know how old you are, but when I was growing up, man,
Yeah,
all
definitely.
the Dungeons and Dragons ones, those were, I still have them. They're fantastic. But it's I think a few years ago they made a small little resurgence, but that's died down. But that's a serious part of a small part of the public, where it's like, you could just follow the book and like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this now. Okay, click that, and then you get sent to another chapter. So you can have all these things, but how is a book a book? And with different genres, you'll have different things, because a fiction book is going to be there primarily for entertainment, unless it's a literary fiction book, but then you're going to have the whole educational aspect to it. And then, of course, a business book, personal development book. Personal development books, you have those self-guided aspect to it, and where you could fill out the forms, maybe even connect directly with a coach, mentor, consultant. And so this changes drastically the notion of what a book is. I said, in my view, and for the genre that I publish, and a lot of the people for whom I publish books, it's part and parcel a marketing tool. You want your book out there. You're a public speaker. You're a business person. You're a CEO. How do you put out there, hey, you're the CEO and the author of, because being the author of a book, just that phrase, you're the author, as we discussed, that means something. You authored a book. You wrote the book. That means something in that whole, remember, neuro-linguistic programming sense. And so when you're the author of the book, people want to talk to you. If you say, hey, I have this, I have this idea, boom, people want to talk to you. People want to hear from the author. People want to talk to someone who has the courage to put a book out there. Because everyone I talk to says, they have a book within them. Everyone says they want to write a book. It's a dream. I've been in a room, had dinner with rock stars. And they're set to later on that night go on stage, and then, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a book publisher. Boom, all eyes are on me. All of a sudden I'm in the spotlight. They're all like, well, I have this idea for a book. I have the, yeah, let's do it. Let's talk. Or here's how. And all of a sudden, in a room full of rock stars, the dorky book guy is the rock star, and it's because there is this power to the book and being an author. So it's interesting where this is going, today, and it's always had that, perhaps at one time or another. But and much like the music industry, where the modes of distribution have become so dispersed and spread out amongst different avenues, we might not have those huge spikes in people, but we will. But those people who are those huge spike are going to be monumentally insanely huge. J.K. Rowling, a billionaire, author. Now, rarely doesn't happen. But along the way, you're going to have these smaller spikes, because they're going to find, as you said earlier, we're going to create those tribes. We're going to create those segments for ourselves, those outliers, and it's going to be a way to create those rooms for ourselves. And so it's leading in different ways.
I am like Anthony, I'm so glad that you brought this in. We're gonna have to start wrapping up this part of the
Okay.
conversation soon, but you're unlocking things for me right now. And
Good. Thank you.
I want to say why. Look, as an outlier here, I'm always trying to like th there's a tension between how much of an outlier can I be? I try and push the envelope myself, but like how much can I challenge the status quo? How much of what everyone else is doing do I like? Is like a good best practice, or am I seeing like an opportunity that like no one else? I'm like, can't you all just see what's here? I feel like it's very very obvious. So when you ask that question, like this is one of the questions I think is or statements that's probably going to stay with me for like years, if not decades. Like, and the question is, what is a book? And like to take something that feels so fundamental. Well, obviously you know what a book is, right? And then to be able to piece it apart and say like, but what about this? And how here goes how things are evolving. And when they do it this way, is it still a book? So on and so forth. What it does here is, yes, we're talking about the book in particular, but what it does is that it helps unravel a lot of different things that I'm thinking about. a lot of different ways of looking at it and saying, well, what if I just did it my way? Because does that not still make it a book? You know, if I have, I've seen people who's have 124 page PDFs that they give out as, that is actually better than the book, like in like the traditional way that I would think about it, you know, and it has the multimedia, they have pictures, they have like all different ways of engaging you to learn and take action and so forth. And I'm like, this was just a PDF download, you know?
It's
So
amazing.
yeah, I'm really excited by this, Anthony. I think you've really opened up something here, because like at least for me here, if I think about other outliers that they think about like, oh, it's supposed to be this way. And in this question here, like I'll probably ask that to people just like as a coaching question, go from like, well, what's a book? Just, you know, because you've tossed you've helped put out there like everything's evolving and it's still up to definition, and we get to be a part of the definition of it. We put something else out there, and like now that also gets to add into the lexicon. What are your thoughts?
Exactly. And it's really wild. And I think, and in some ways, if I could do things differently in the past, not regarding regrets, but just in general, I think it's like, yeah, make bigger goals, make more bolder claims, think bigger, be bigger, go more outrageous, because it's more fun, if anything. And also, it's like, why not? Listen, we're again, we're it, you know, in hopes of having not you and I, but just in general, just those equal values per se. But like I said, that di difference between confidence and arrogance. You don't want to for lack of a better word, be stupid. But on the other hand, no, if you have a good idea, if you have a good notion, and I think there are times in my life where I did do things that were a bit, see, that's the thing. Sometimes we have those nudges within us. We feel them. And somehow we try to talk our way out of it. And it's tough, because it is part of wisdom. It is part of discernment, which is one of my favorite words. And in many ways, it's sometimes what's lacking in a lot of things. Because when Steve Jobs said it best, he's like, sometimes it's the hardest part of doing things is just saying no to something. Because there are a lot of good ideas, but the best products that they made were when they said no to things, even though, hey, this is a great idea, but it's not for this. And it's often the same way with editing a book or making a great book cover, or just doing anything great. Sometimes you just got to say no. Otherwise, you get that whole really jumbled kind of presentation. But going bold and being audacious, God, it's possible. And you have to be willing to take the arrows and the bullets, because you're going to get plenty of them. And people are going to try to stop you at every point. You know this, because you go out there and you say, hey, I want to start my own business. Like, are you ready for it? I mean, heck, you go to the Small Business Administration, say, hey, I had this idea for a business. Are you sure you want to take this test of be an entrepreneur? I mean, they're already trying to sell you, like, hey, it's gonna be hard work, and it is, don't get me wrong, it is, but it's not like the hardest work. I mean, like I said, if some of these, you walk into some stores or you walk into some restaurants, you're like, really? You're like, so it's they're trying to dissuade you. And so from the get-go, it's like speed bumps are put in front of you. So just in what I've found, and this is somewhat cliche, but I found it's like it's just as easy to sell. Actually, in many ways, it's easier to sell like a $1 million product than it is a $2 product.
Oh yeah, like one of the things that's most frustrating to me is when I have something like I just want to give, you know, and they're like, oh, that costs too much, you know. I'm like, but it's free, you know. It's like
And it's difficult. People are thinking like, hey, what's up? What's the scam? And people,
yeah.
and it's difficult. And I'll be, yeah, I sold some, bundles of books and products at a high price range. Very, very few complaints. Very, very, very few. But some of my free downloads that I have available, yeah, this doesn't work. And it's like it's just a big, sometimes it's a big time pit. But overall, it is
I want
sometimes.
to put that out there for outliers here too, right? And then we'll start wrapping up today's conversation. But like even that last part here, where it's like, because one of the things we look at is like, how do you value your impact? And part of what I think we're saying is like, there's value in giving for free. There's a value in that. But then there's also some other sides of it where it's like, there are people who will take big bundles and it'll be your easiest clients. They're like, if you just wanted this handled and you got it handled and whatever you say goes and we're good, And so I think that there's something in there that I don't want to just like gloss over.
I want to touch on that for outliers and for you, because I myself and I've heard it from plenty of others, because we'll be the kind of people will get 100 emails saying good job, where you helped me, and but we'll get that one. We'll get one email that says like, you're a jerk, or whatever, or else I didn't like that. And so
I'm
it'll
like
just
hiding
go
underneath
wrong.
my
It'll just go like,
hair.
no. And my guy will fixate on that. Now the thing is, we generally don't receive, or maybe not, but 100 emails, because a lot of times people are quick to complain, but not as quick to just say, hey, I appreciate that. Although in recent years, I've seen an uptick in let's call it gratitude, or just saying that unsolicited thanks. So we have to, I think, and this might go back to that uncommon belief, we say like, hey, if one, it's been the old age that if one person complains, there are 10 other people who have the same complaint. I'm going to say the same thing regarding positive comments. If you get one positive comment, you could hopefully extrapolate, and I think not beyond hopefully, I think you could act absolutely extrapolate that to being like, yeah, you're positively influencing a lot more people's lives than you think. So I think it behooves us to keep that in mind as we do our thing. And especially if those comments aren't coming from friends and family, because of course, your mother's going to tell you you look nice and that you're a nice person. Hopefully your wife and girlfriend, or husband or brother and sister and family will. But those people just out of the blue who just somehow read your blog, listened to your podcast, bought your book, and they come and say, hey, good job. It's like, wow, okay, cool. And because I just got an email, from someone this morning, and don't know the person at all, but just like, hey, found one of my blog posts and it really helped them. I'm like, that's good to know. That's really good to know, because sometimes you forget something's out there. You don't think, because that's the other thing too. It's we're doing things, and especially being solopreneurs, sometimes we're in a communications, like we feel like we're incommunicado with people, because sometimes we won't hear from people for or anybody. You hope that you keep getting orders and whatever, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. You're like, is my website, is my email working? Is my phone? But it's like, yeah, we're like, no, sometimes it comes in waves, or it happens, or peaks and valleys, and it's out there.
It's
It's
out there. It's
working.
out there. So let's do this, Anthony. I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation. We'll have opportunity to keep talking. I'll probably have you come back in and find other ways to
Please,
get you in
I look
front of
forward
this.
to it.
Yeah. I same here. Honestly, same here. So let's close with this here. It's been a while since I asked this question. So I like to end my conversations with what I call the time capsule question. And then afterwards, we'll do this. Let us know how we can like follow up with you. Like if anyone's like wants to enter your world and continue the conversation with you, let us know the best way to go do that. And then afterwards I'll ask you about the time lapse question. All right. So how can we best stay in your world? How can we continue on with you?
Keep in touch with me. Just go to readkp.com, join my email list, and that's probably the best. And I'm going to tell you that website, as it stands right now, is getting overhauled massively. It's becoming just a It's like with all things tech. You build a great website at one time, and then, God, now it's time for a new
What
one.
is a website though? Like that, now that's what
That, yeah,
I'm thinking.
right?
I don't think I'm asking myself that,
And
right?
honestly, yeah, that's a huge one, and that's a whole conversation in and of itself. Because, like, yeah, it's a marketing tool for me. It's a, a product catalog. It's e-commerce, and sometimes you're filling out these forms for like Google Ads or whatever, and it's like, well, what is your primary use? Is it personal? Sort of. There's a blog there, but it's not through the blog. But is it e-commerce? Well, yeah, I hope so. And is it a company website? Yes.
Let me also ask this question then on behalf of any outlier. If like there's an outlier out there that has a book in them, that's like that may maybe is like has even written something that is looking to get come get it published and things like that, right? Readkp.com, is that the best way for them to
That's
start
it.
down the journey?
Readkp.com. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Readkp.com, CallistiPublishing.com.
Yep.
And you'll find me. You'll find all the contact forms there. And yeah,
Perfect.
you'll find me.
So then the last question I have for you is this. And I call it the time-lapse question, and it basically comes down to this. You're here in this moment, and you have had all your experiences right now. You have all your wisdom, accepted and unaccepted, and beyond. What's the message that you would leave for yourself if you needed to come back, let's say 20 years later or 10 years later, and you're just like, you just needed to be reminded of something? What's that message that you would leave for yourself?
Let me just preface that by saying I often tell writers and authors that I hope in 5 years you look at what you wrote today and say, wow, that's bad. Because that means that you grew. And I would tell myself, so you want me now to tell myself something for 20 years from now?
Tell yourself something that you want to like be like that 20 years from
Remind.
now while you're in the middle of all the stuff, the frustrations are coming or the positive things are coming. You just want to just like remember something. What's the thing that you would want to remind yourself of for 10, 20 years down the line if you ever needed to?
I don't know offhand. I think anything I would say and would want to remind myself would be things that I'm carrying with me. I'm thinking of this in the past in the sense of, I'm looking back and say, okay, 20 years ago, what would I have wanted to, but that's kind of an awkward way to go at it. You don't know what you don't know. You don't remember what you don't remember. In that same sense, looking forward, I'd like to remind myself that it's the people, stupid. Maybe. I mean,
It's the element of this that I really like.
let me say why I'm saying that is that, and I think, like you said, you mentioned a team, and I work with freelance, I work with other people as well. But again, a lot of times it's like, and especially doing something, especially now, it's so easy. Because we're not going into an office, we're not pressing palms all the time, if sometimes at all. But it always comes down to the people and working with people, whether they're your coworkers or your customers, your management or whomever. And it's all about the human being thing. Like you said earlier, you wonder what you would do if you were put in charge. That is that thought that we all have, where like, God, if I were the president, if I ruled the world, and it everything is a much, much greater collaborative effort than people realize. Now, don't get me wrong, I am all about the individual. I am all about the sovereignty and the sanctity of the individual and his or her role in bringing things to light. So I'm not diminishing that, but man, it comes with a big part of that is, being that conductor of the orchestra, of being that person who brings all these people and ideas together, and like a great conduit, just focuses it and brings it properly, either into the world or into existence, or just into a state of refinement, such that, people appreciate it and like it and want it, and it serves the world, and it helps. So it's really just a, always going to be about the people, and I hope I remind myself of that in the future, and also that it such to the point so I look back on it and say, like, of course it was dummy. Of
Well,
course
I
it
appreciate you, Anthony. I appreciate you taking the time to
Thank you. I
like
appreciate you.
answer, and even just that last bit, like taking the time to answer that question fully,
Thank you.
I really saw it's those small things that like keep adding up when I spend time with you. Like it's fun, we're having a good time, we're being playful, we're being light, but we're being there's depth with all of it,
Yes.
and like even when I was about to like move on from the question, like, no, let me explain why. And it's something about you that they're like you keep showing up and you show up fully. And I want to make sure I reflect that back to you. I'm deeply appreciative of you. Outliers, like, what is a book? Like, go out there and like make sure that you like what you like your message, like you're here for on this earth is big, and to the extent that like a book in any form of variation comes into play, like please go reach out to Anthony, go to readkp.com, and just enter his world, and I mean clearly you can see you're gonna be taken care of. So Anthony, I appreciate you.
I
Thank you
appreciate
so
it.
much for
Thank
this
you.
year. Yeah. All
And
right.
thank you for getting in touch with me. You see, you reached out into the world because that was a blank email that were, a blank as in, a cold email. And it's fascinating how I just meet people like you. And it's and just to really go back to the beginning, I ask, I put in many of my emails, it not all of them, close to darn near all of them. But please let me know how I could be of service to you, because just I want to open myself up to the world. And sometimes someone's just going to say something, hey, can you do this? And it's like, yeah, I think I can. I think I can do that. And it leads to another adventure. And when I like having a certain openness to the world and a certain fearlessness.
There it is. There it is.
And I think that's I do. In many ways, excel at that, and it's a because it's a lot of fun, and I encourage everyone to be that way, because it will bring a lot of fun and a lot of opportunity.
Oh, we'll have it at that. All right.
My
Thank you
friend,
again, Anthony.
thank you, my friend, thank you.